Psalm 119 and verses 9 through 12. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 12. It asks a question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. If you would, just turn to someone and just greet them this morning and say, good morning. How are you? Amen. You may be seated. The question was asked by the psalmist in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young person keep his path clear or pure by taking heed to God's word? We wanted to share with you a thought this morning, cleaning house. Cleaning house, amen. Something I know that all of us need to do, should have done a long time ago, amen. Cleaning house. Little song that goes this way. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, you know it. Singing, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know is nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm singing, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many of you need to clean house. But what about your spiritual house? What about the place that's on the inside of you? As we introduce this next section of Psalm 119, it brought to mind the TV sitcom Sanford and Son. It was put out back in the 1970s, and it featured Fred and his son Lamont. Fred was played by Red Fox and Lamont by Damon Wilson. And they were engaged in this thing of collecting stuff. And the goal was to make a fortune. As a matter of fact, you could hear Fred saying, one day, son, I'm going to leave this empire to you. But the only problem with that, they never succeeded in gaining the wealth that they thought they would gain because of the fact that they had too much stuff. And they really needed to clean out. There's a danger when we collect things in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. And so the psalmist asked the question, what can I do? What can a young person do to clean his ways or clean his path? And then he answers that by saying, taking heed to God's word. Here's some things to ponder. When we have too much clutter, when we have things in our life that we don't need, it becomes, first of all, unhealthy. It is unhealthy. It's not good for us to keep those things around. They can collect dust, dirt, contamination, and all other sorts of things that come with it. The next thing that we find in this is that it's hard to find value in too much stuff. Now you don't know which is more valuable than the other. Try going back to your house today and say, I'm going to throw out stuff. Your difficulty will be, what do I throw away? What do I get rid of? Now, I'm going to give you a clue in just a little bit. But in this section that we're dealing with, the word or the section that stanza that is brought out is called bait. And I'll get to that in just a second. But then you also find that it's hard to organize your life because you've got a lot of clutter to deal with. You got issues to deal with. And that's why we pray every day, forgive us. When God forgives you, you have to release it. You have to let it go. You cannot hold on to things and hold on to God at the same time. You got to let things go. You know, a lot of us, we like to collect dirt, especially dirt on other people. And it's hard to let go. But for the sake of Christ and for the sake of his forgiveness, we need to learn to let those things go. Otherwise, we become a junk collector just like Fred Sanford. Stuff that we can't sell, and yet stuff that we don't want to get rid of. It becomes impossible, and then finally, it becomes deadly. The Bible has not changed for thousands of years. Sin is still sin, and sin still causes death. It causes chaos. It causes the breakdown of things. And what happens is that we value one thing over the other rather than valuing people, loving them. Now, every person you come in contact is going to have some faults. Don't look at the person next to you. And the person next to you, don't look at them. But everybody's got some faults. Everybody got some ups and downs. That's why we need God's grace. It is impossible for us to solve our own problems or to clean up our own way. That's why the psalmist asked this important question, what can I do? What can I do? And then he answers in the same sentence by saying, take heed to what God has said. Heed the word of God. Learn what it says and then follow it and you'll be able to clean up your life. Cora ten Boom, who was a Holocaust survivor, the Jewish Holocaust survivor back in the 1940s, said these words, was quoted to say these words, hold loosely to the things of this life. So if God requires them of you, it will be easy to let them go. Don't grab hold of things and think you've got a treasure, because as it comes, it can also leave you. But there's one thing that will never leave you, and that is God Almighty. God made you a promise, and God will keep his promise as long as we take heed and we pay attention to what God has said. In this section that we call bait, it really means house, house. You get words like Bethlehem or Bethel, Bethel being the house of God. And so what I want you to do is to think about your spiritual house. Think about your heart, mind, and soul, and ask yourself this important question, what am I storing in my heart and in my life? What am I saying about myself? What am I saying about other people? How am I approaching life? How do I make my decisions from this house that I live in? The Bible declares that you are the temple of God. Now, we come to this church, but this church is not the temple. The temple of God is your heart. And the commandment that God has given us, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And amen goes right there. You're quiet this morning. I know it gets hard to wake up and get things going. So I want you to follow through and listen to what the psalmist is talking about. And as we close, I'm going to give you seven spiritual principles, seven housekeeping rules that will help you to keep your house clean. How would y'all like to do that? Now, I didn't say it will keep your natural house clean. I didn't say it will clean your car. I said it will clean the inside of you. Look at somebody and say, won't he make you clean inside? So let's look at this. Let's look at the psalmist and look at the question that he asked. He said, now, here's the question. Here's the question. And what does it mean for me to have a clean house? One of the decisions that you have to make is this. Dirt needs to be dirt. Don't say that there's good dirt. There's bad dirt. There's good gossip, there's bad gossip. There are good words, and there are bad words. Anything that is not of God is bad. A lot of you are holding on to things because you've labeled it as good. Notice in this verse, he says, how can a young person, not an old person. Now, why does he go into details with that? I've learned from my own experience, the longer that I hold on to something, the harder it is to let it go. Deacon Knight made a statement many years ago. He said, you know, in your life, the habits that you didn't keep for a long time or you'd learn late in life, you can get rid of them. You can get those out of the way real easy. But he said, when you start dealing with, and when the Spirit of God starts dealing with those old habits, now we got a problem. Now we've got an issue. Because we've had it around for a long time and we've given it a nickname. Old Betsy. Old John. And we know what it is. Other people may not know what it is. But the longer you hold on to those things, it becomes very difficult. And those things work tragedy in your life. They work tragedy in your life. You look at that thing. You say to yourself, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, I'm going to get rid of it not too long. Let me tell you, I have a rule in my house. If you haven't used it in 2 years, it needs to go. It needs to go. No need of putting the car up on jacks and saying, I'm going to fix it after a while. Either you fix it or you let it go. Call the junk man. Call Sanford and Son, and they'll pick it up. Let it go. People hold on to these things so long in their life, and they feel a certain value, and they know it's wrong. They know that this is going to destroy you. So what happens later on in life, after you've lost family, after you've lost job, after you've lost an opportunity, you still got that old habit digging at your life and continuing to destroy you while it draws every ounce of strength from your life. So the psalmist asks, how can a young person, young people, I'm speaking to you now, be careful what you pick up because you might not be able to put it down that easily. Be careful what you put in your life. But then he answers the question, whether you're young and old, this works. He answers that question. He says, take heed to what God has said. Pay attention to what God has said. Don't let God be the last thing on your agenda. Don't let everything else happen in your life. Then all of a sudden you turn to God. Okay, God, fix it. God is not your mechanic. He is called Lord of Lords. He is called King of Kings. He is called God Almighty and the Lord of Glory. Yes, you can go to him. Yes, you can depend on him. But it's good if you take heed to God's word. What a remedy that is for our lives. I can't tell you how many times I've struggled with things in my life. I've struggled with the need to let go. You know when somebody bad mouth, they say bad mouth you. You gonna chew over like an old cow. You and you need to get rid of it. Why? It happened yesterday. I haven't seen a person yet that can live in the past. You can only live in this day. Call today. Let me move right along and let me just share with you the housekeeping rules and the things that we need to do if we're going to live a life that is pleasing to God and a life that is clean before God. When you are filling your life with the things of God, you got to understand that you're living according to his word. Put things in perspective because you need to be able to say, I'm living by the word of God and he's leading me each and every day. You know, as I studied this, as I looked at it, I saw all of these marvelous things that God could do for us, God would do for us, but we let things get in the way. I've seen God use many broken things, but I have yet to see God use a filthy thing. You've got a clean house. You've got to look at yourself. And this is for you sermon. This is for me sermon. Because as much as I think that my life is clean, I guarantee you, if the Lord of glory were to come down and search our lives, he'd find something. He'd find some things that needed to have gone a long time ago. And when you get the house clean, when you're able to say, Lord, thank you for cleansing my life, that's when he comes and filled it with his presence and fills it with his glory. And that's when God rises in your life and causes you to be more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Can I get an amen to that? The first housekeeping rule that you need to pay attention to is seek God with your whole heart. Now, we've heard that over and over and over again. Yes, I'm seeking God with my whole heart. Are we willing? Are we really? Now, look at this part of it. What if God loved you half-hearted? What if God said, rather than giving you this day, I'm going to give you half a day? What if God said, rather than give you a whole heartbeat, I'm going to give you half one? Or I might just skip one. We would find problems with that. Let me tell you that God loves you unreservedly. God loves you unconditionally. He does not hold back his blessing. As a matter of fact, when he starts blessing you, he doesn't turn the tap off. God says, your cup runs over because he wants your life to overflow with blessing. But watch this. If you've already got things in your life, if you've already got stuff in your life, how in the world are you going to be able to retain all of that if you're already full, if you've already got the wrong things? So what are we to do? We're to seek God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Old folks would say, give it all you got. Give it everything you've got. Why? Because God has given you everything. He's opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing. And when that was enough, he came down. Jesus Christ, filled with the power and filled with the goodness of God, came and emptied himself out. And then he said these words in Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what Jesus has said. So we're to love him with our whole heart. Here's a test. How much do you love God? Okay, let me just go on and test this a little bit further. Do you serve him every day? Do you find something good that you can say, I want to honor God every day? Remember, we're not saved by works, but we're saved to work. We can't come in here, sing our song, clap our hand, give our offering, go out and do nothing else. We become the workmanship of God. So when you serve him with all your heart, God dwells in you. The second thing that a child of God needs to do is to hide the word of God in your heart. Here's a good verse to remember. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I may not sin against God. Reverend Givens gave that to the youth many, many years ago. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against God. Is that a good scripture or not? Does it work? Yes, it works. When you hide God's word in your heart, you don't sin against him. People say, well, I tried to give that up a long time ago. Well, you must have hid the wrong thing. Back in the biblical times, they did not have banks. They did not have safe deposit boxes. So they had to hide things in order to keep it. Why? The enemy would come and would steal it away. I remember we used to watch my dad. He didn't put all his money in the bank. He should have, because he had what he called roguish children. Dad would keep these jars of money, and he'd hide them in the cracks of the corn house, right? And he'd think he's got a lot of money in there. We'd go in and get some quarters out and get some dimes and nickels, and then next thing we go to the store, we'd have some money. Dead giveaway. Never let your dad take you to the store, and he knows that if he didn't give you an allowance, you had to get it from somewhere. Oh, and when he found out, that was before the day that there was a law against corporal punishment. Why do you hide the word of God in your heart? You hide it in your heart so that you can honor God by not sinning against him. We look at the consequences of sin, but the sad consequence of sin, not only does it destroy you and other people around you, the consequences of sin, it displeases God. God made you for righteousness. God made you for holy living. He made this vessel of mine for holy living. The vessel that you're living in, he didn't create you to steal, kill, destroy. He created you to deposit his love in your heart. Watch this. And then through that love, you go out and you share with other people. That's why God made you and me. And I'm going to ask you a question. If we had the love of God in our heart, what a difference would it make in this world? Amen. Let God fill your heart. Let him come on the inside of you. And then you hide that word. You hide it in your heart so that you won't have to sin against God. Remember, the devil doesn't have the combination to your heart unless you give it to him. Wise words to live by. Third housekeeping rule, declare all of God's judgments. Now you're doing something else. You're not just seeking God. You're not just hiding his word. Now you are actually speaking. You're actually declaring the truth. What did Jesus say about the truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Once you have the truth and you're living by truth and not by dirt, you're living by the truth and not by all of these other things that could come in and could saturate your mind. By the way, things that you meditate on, they become a part of your life. And if you don't have the meditations of God in your life, you're going to be thinking about wrong things. And no wonder we're not making spiritual progress, because we've made our lives based around the wrong priorities. So declare God's judgment. Declare. Let me give you a couple of examples of this. Is God good? How good is he? Oh, Lord, okay. Somebody ought to say real good. And then when you ask the question, how long has God been good? Forever. His mercies never fail. His truth prevails to every generation. Every time a new person comes into this world, they have the opportunity of meeting the same God that their parents met, the same God that their grandma had, that same God that brought us this far will lead us all the way. Amen. Declare his judgments. Declare that the Lord is good. One thing my kids can't say, I may not have done everything, but one thing I preach to them. I tell them about the goodness of God. I tell them about the mercy of God. I tell them when you sin, come to God. Let him know that you've done wrong. And he'll forgive you of your sin. Declare all of God's judgment. God created Israel to become a nation that would declare his name. Israel started worshiping other gods, thinking that they could get blessed by claiming these other gods. Some of them, the very nations that they'd conquered, they ended up embracing those beliefs and embracing those things. And what a disappointment it was to God. If those nations weren't able to defend them against Israel, how in the world could they now be a part of our life? You look at that and you say, how dare those Israelites? How dare you? Very thing that you've seen destroy other people, now you're grabbing hold of it. Now you're saying, nothing wrong with it. It ain't going to happen to me. Brother, sister, it can and it will happen to you. Just give the devil a little time. Give him a little time. As a matter of fact, you give him an inch, he ain't got to worry about it. He's going to take the mile. Are you with me today? Declare his judgments. Then the fourth thing, rejoice in God's testimonies. Why should I rejoice in God's testimonies? Why am I going to rejoice? I told you on last week, you can believe what other people say about you, or you can believe what God says about you. Now, other people say, I hate you. God says, I love you. Other people will tell you, I'm not giving you anything. God says, I'm going to give you everything. So it depends on whose testimony, whose report that you want to believe. I'm like Isaiah, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Why? Because I know from experience, he didn't bring me this far to lead me now. God is the one who takes care of you. God is the one that provides for you. And if you got a testimony, I'm not talking about I got saved a long time ago. I'm talking about saying what God is doing and what he means in your life right now. You don't have to repeat the past. You can if you want to. But you can just look at what he's done just today. Just the last few minutes. He allowed your golden moments and my golden moments to roll on just a little bit longer. And you ought to praise him, because somebody in the last few minutes had to go to the emergency room. Somebody left this world. But look at you and me. We are still here. And if we're still here, we ought to rejoice in the testimony of God. It's not my goodness. It's not your goodness. But it is the goodness of the Lord, because his goodness and his mercy endures forever. We ought to rejoice. We ought to be glad. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Meditation is one of those things that people think is a part of the Eastern culture. It should be a part of our culture. As a matter of fact, sometimes when we get into our worship, you know, we'll say, oh, when I think about the goodness of the Lord. Like the old-time preacher. But have you ever thought about the goodness of God? His faithfulness. All it takes is one storm to destroy this whole country. Now, God has allowed some fierce storms to come and to destroy, but he could have allowed it to do a lot more. But you know what caused God to say, okay, I'm not going to destroy you. I'm just going to warn you. Mercy. Lord, have mercy. Stepped in. Mercy that you didn't deserve. Mercy that I didn't deserve. Mercy stepped in and said, hold off. Don't do that. When the angel of God was about to destroy Jerusalem, had a drawn sword, and was getting ready to destroy the city because of a sin that David had committed, he wanted to brag about how many he had. So he sent out his troops to number all the people. And God said, David, I'm going to punish you. And that angel went out and destroyed 70,000 people throughout Israel and was standing with the sword over Jerusalem. God said, don't destroy it. Put up your sword. Why did God do that? Because David repented. He came to God and said, God, I'm so sorry. I did this. I am so sorry. And he went to that threshing floor of Arana and he offered a sacrifice unto God, and God forgave him. Let me tell you something. Early this morning, death kept circling your bed. Amen. But could not lay a hand on you, because God already had his hand on you. He couldn't touch you, because God had already touched you. He couldn't move in your life, because God was moving in your life. And I want to tell you something. When you think about the goodness of the Lord and everything he's done for you, how he's brought you from a long way, kept you for a long time, and haven't let you go yet, and going to keep you throughout your journey, you ought to give God thanks. You ought to say, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. This will clean your house. It'll keep your house clean. You don't have to get your broom. You don't have to get your vacuum cleaner. It'll clean your spiritual house. The sixth rule, and then we're getting ready to get out of here. Delight in God's statutes. Delight in God's statutes. I remember one time we went to Miss Olabell's store, Rufus, and we were hungry and didn't have no money. I'm telling on myself. That's why I tell people, ain't got to gossip about me. I'm going to tell it myself. Went to Miss Olabell's store. Miss Olabell had a little bit of arthritis, so it took her a long time to turn around. Before she could turn around, we had stole two packs of NABs and got a soda before she could even turn around. Don't you know, when I walked out of that store, something hit me, because I had delighted in taking stuff. But now something was digging at my heart and letting me know that was wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. What if I'd walked in that store and I had God's word on my mind, thou shalt not steal? I would have asked Miss Olabell, Miss Olabell, I ain't got no money. But if you let me buy on time, I'll pay you for these NABs. And to this day, I haven't paid her yet, but she's dead now. So I'll figure that out after. Maybe I'll put an offering in the church or something. But delight in God's statutes. They become the guiding principles of your life. When you're able to quote a scripture or to talk about God's goodness, it keeps you on track. Amen. When you start thinking about and meditating all the devil puts in your way, that'll throw you off your course. Now you got to turn things around and go back to where you started and start. Delight yourself in God's word, and his word will become the guiding principles of your life. Then lastly, we're going to close with this. Don't forget God's word. Every Sunday we come and we declare God's word to you. Don't forget it. This is the precious plan of God for your life. Don't just say, well, I just came to get blessed. No, I came for the word, and the word's going to bless me. If the word of God can't bless you, then it can't help you. If it can't correct you, then it really can't help you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can forget a lot of that, you don't know how it is, how you, sometimes people say, you remember me? And you once said, no. Long time since I've seen you. Sometimes I forget my wife's name. Don't y'all tell her that. But you don't want to forget God's word. He spoke it to you personally. He spoke it to you powerfully. And he spoke it to you that it would meet every need in your life. Do not forget God's word. Hold it near to your heart. And say, Lord, I don't understand all of it, but I believe all of it. And I know that you're God. In closing, as we clean house, as we get our houses prepared, God comes in and he takes residence with us. And I can tell you that you and I may be able to put up with a lot of junk, but God will not. God will wrestle with you. God will work in your life until he changes you and makes that house clean. Why? Because the house belongs to God. It is his house. He has every right to move in it. And what we have to do is to take the priority of saying, Lord, I'm going to keep this vessel clean. Right things can be in the right place when your house is clean. Priorities can be in your life when your house is clean. You don't need to get things twisted between trash or treasure when your house is clean. And when your house is clean, the Lord of glory comes in, sets up a throne in your heart and in your life, and tells you, I am Almighty God. I've come to lead you and to direct your life. When your house is clean, it pleases the Lord. Father, we thank you for your mercy and goodness today. We ask that you would allow us now to receive this word and to take heed to your promises that we might live thereby. If there's someone who's not saved today, I pray you'd come into their life and fill them with your goodness that they might know you and the free pardon of their sin. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So how did y'all enjoy the housekeeping? I'm going to ask we all stand. We're headed into our Sunday school hour, so I don't want to delay this.